The Mark Steele Solution.
Give me 30 minutes and I'll convince you of anything.
Starring Mark Steele, Maria McCurlane and Pete Sinclair.
Welcome to the Mark Steele Solution. Each week, I'm going to come up with a proposal which is going to change all of our lives for the better. And this week's proposal concerns the royal family. Now, any family, it seems to me, would start to think that something was going wrong if their evenings were spent indoors going, "Oi, look at this phone bill. Have you been chatting to that squidgy again? He's been nicking my aspirin. Shut up, you Greek git. Oi, Ginger, put them away before they end up all over the newspapers again. And you, get yourself a girlfriend." But we're not just concerned with the odd scandal. What's needed is a solution that is going to end all these problems forever. And that's why this solution will make the royals popular, loved and fair. So tonight's proposal is... that each week the royal family should be chosen by a national lottery. So that every Monday morning a new family moves into Buckingham Palace to carry out the duties of the heads of state. Now, I realise that, of course, one or two people may have their reservations. They may, for instance, say, "You're mad, mate." But I'd say, mad, is it? If you see the opening of Parliament, what you will see is the Queen in a mile-long ermine robe, wearing this crown, which is worth more than the gross national product of Zambia, and she'll be sitting on a 40-foot-high throne, which must be there on the off chance that one day there's going to be a 40-foot-high king, and she'll be summoned in a man called Black Rod, who's dressed all in black, with a hood and a black rod, eh, as seen in Black Rod magazine, no doubt. And he has to tap three times on this door, and then they open it up and slam it in his face before he walks off backwards, before the Prime Minister then gets called in to hear the Queen read out a speech that he wrote in the first place. That is mad. And the slightest little thing that happens to a royal, and you get grown adults with degrees who've earned huge piles of money acting like this.
"I'm standing outside the Royal Park Hospital where Prince Charles is under observation after cutting himself shaving. We're still waiting for an official statement, but unconfirmed rumours suggest that His Highness suffered a slight nick under the left nostril."
Robin, have you heard anything as to what treatment he may be undergoing?
"Well, John, the word is that surgeons have applied a small piece of toilet paper to the wound in an effort to stem the bleeding."
Now, I have with me our royal correspondent, Felicity Burbage. Felicity, anxious moments, obviously. How will Princess Diana be taking the news?
Well, naturally, Diana will be very concerned, even though she's on holiday in Mexico. But she is very courageous. You know, she's one
Felicity, I'm going to have to stop you there because I believe that Princess Anne has arrived at the hospital.
"Indeed she has, John. She arrived looking anxious but calm and carrying a large bunch of flowers."
"Did you see what they were?"
"I believe there were some carnations, possibly tulips, and one of those long yellow pointy things."
I think
we're about to get a statement.
"Ladies and gentlemen, as the chief surgeon, I can confirm that His Highness is suffering a mild nick to the upper lip. He's comfortable, he has eaten, and we're hopeful that we can remove the little bit of toilet paper within the next few minutes."
And now, the rest of the news. The Indonesian earthquake is now thought to have claimed 10 million lives. So the whole thing is just absurd. I feel like grabbing hold of these people and going, "Look, they're just ordinary bloody human beings." Because people actually believe that if you've got royal blood, then that makes you different. Which is why, when members of the royal family go on visits, for instance, they're instructed not to use the toilets. Or they have a special one that's reserved just for them. Now, why is that? Obviously, because they just can't abide the thought of somebody going in afterwards and going, "Oh, bloody hell, the Queen's dropped one. They're going there for a while." Because that would mean that the Queen was just like anybody else. See, they're only different because people believe that they're different. It's like the story, for instance, of the Emperor's new clothes.
"And so, the Emperor set off on the grand parade, wearing his beautiful invisible cloak that only the most intelligent people could see."
"Oh, isn't it marvellous?
It's radiant!"
But suddenly, a small voice in the crowd cried out,
"Here! The King's got nothing on."
"Oh, well, his body's still marvellous."
"Yeah, it's radiant."
But then the boy cried out again.
No, he's not. He's just a normal bloke with a fat gut and a little willy.
It's true. He's not radiant at all.
You're right. My old man's got more than that.
Why should he be an emperor?
And they all started to sing.
The king is just a normal geezer, a normal geezer, a normal geezer. He's nothing special, he's just the same as him and you and me. To worship him is bleeding silly, he's just a bloke with a little willy. He's nothing special, he's just the same as him and you and me.
And from that day on, they decided that the king should be chosen by a weekly lottery.
So, for instance, look at what the present system has produced in the way of royalty. King George III, who talked to an oak tree because he thought it was the King of Prussia. Prince Albert, prime suspect for organising the Jack the Ripper murders. Edward VIII was a mate of Adolf Hitler's, and Prince Edward's a mate of Andrew Lloyd Webber's. It's just, the whole thing is just unbelievable. You'd think now, with all their advantages, you'd think that at least one of them would have done something of some value, like invent something, or been in a decent band, or something. So why are the royals so bad? The problem comes with having the same lot week after week, generation after generation. And if you have the same royal family all the time, they never get to lead a normal life. So they end up being completely out of touch with reality. So the Queen has never in her whole life had to run for a bus, look for a cash point machine, stand in a queue at a post office going, come on! Never run out of milk at 11:30 at night, never run out of Rizzlers at 1 a.m, never sat in a public toilet with no lock whistling playing the national anthem so no one comes in, never heard a mechanic going, whoa, new tyre, new engine more like, never had a barman going, it might be 5:02 on your watch, Your Majesty, but it's 1 minute past on mine. Never had a cabbie go, Buckingham Palace, so I'm going east this time of night, darling. And yet, this woman is the head of state, and she must know less about it than anybody else in the entire country. If any of the royals ever went on the most simple of quiz shows, they wouldn't stand a chance. And welcome to How Much Do You Know? This week's family is the Windsors of London. 1 point question starting now. What are pavements made of?
Carpets.
No, concrete. In a driving test, what do you do before starting the car?
You tell the bloody chauffeur to drive on.
No, ensure the car's in neutral. What is the colour sequence of traffic lights?
Green, 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 green.
No, that's just to be the Queen with a police escort. And at the end of that round, you've scored no points.
Oh, how many is that then?
Now, it doesn't really matter who the individuals are, of course, because anybody would be like it. Because if you have the same royal family forever, it means that they get the best job security in the whole world. So it's like there's this train-driving family who've been told that they get to drive trains forever, no matter how bad they are. And even if they turned up pissed one day and drove an Intercity 125 the wrong way up the M6 and crashed into the middle of Nottingham, killing 40 million people, people would just go, oh, well, let's hope his son does better then. So I think that we can safely say that the problem with the royal family is that it's the same one all the time. The only question is, what do we put in its place? Well, before we hear the Mark Steele solution to this problem, let's hear from our regular correspondent, Mr. Coldysack. Royals, don't talk to me about the royals. It's an outrage. Look at that Prince Philip galloping up and down hunting things. If he wants to hunt, he can come round here and hunt next door's tortoise leaving its droppings all over the garden eating my lettuce. There was going to be a royal visit near here. I said, I'm not having it. You know where it's going to end up, don't you? Oh, yes, 21 gun salutes going off in the bathroom. That's where Princess Anne with her horse manure ruining the flowers. Photographers underneath your cushion covers and bloody topless women going skiing up and down the high street, distracting the traffic, causing avalanches in the kitchen, breaking all the crockery. £24.99 they cost me. They can visit somewhere else. I had a game of rummy yesterday, didn't get one king. They're never there when you need them, are they? Oh, no. What about all them royal weddings? They get divorced half an hour later. It's a waste of confetti. They could have spent that money hanging people. Architecture, I saw that Westminster Abbey the other day. It's a carbuncle right in the way of the multi-storey car park it was. Haven't the royal family got any work to do? Look at that prince running round with his guitar sticking out. Why doesn't he sing proper songs like Jake the Pig? It's an outrage.
outrage. And why do they have to change the guard every 25 minutes? They should learn to make do with the old one. 14 years I've had these socks, you don't catch me complaining. Look at that Ethel Reddy unready. Unready, it's time he got himself a bloody watch. And what's everything named after Queen Victoria for? Railway stations, embankments, museums. It's a wonder anybody knows where they are. I've a good mind to go round their house and call it Cul-de-sac Palace. Oh, different then. I'll tell you what, I've been writing some telegrams to the Queen, and here they are. Dear Queen, stop. The other day I was 50. Stop. Where's me half a telegram? Stop. Here's another one. Dear Queen, last week I bought one of your stamps. It fell off. Can't you put some proper glue on them? I want me money back. Stop. Here's another one. Dear Queen, stop. Why stop, oh stop, why stop, oh stop, why stop, oh stop, why stop, oh stop, why stop. That's as far as I got with that one, but it's coming on, don't you think? Stop. Thank you, Mr. Cul-de-sac. Now, in some countries, they don't have royal families. Instead, they have other leaders. The leaders in Eastern Europe, having, like, made everybody's life a complete misery for years, they then put statues and pictures and posters of themselves on every street corner and every shop. So, obviously, when they got overthrown, then they were all going to get shot and put in prison and things, because everybody knew who to look for, didn't they? So clearly, replacing a hereditary royalty with hereditary dictators is not a help, but some people's answer is to return to the past instead. Now, the Barbara Cartland Institute for Royal Studies has just released this information film.
To be ruled by a monarchy is natural. Look at the animal kingdom. Ants have a queen, so do bees. Even otters have a highly developed system of constitutional monarchy. And to see what happens when you don't have a monarch, one only has to look at the London borough of Hackney, which hasn't had a king for centuries, and as a result has the second highest community charge in the country. Or Malta, now a tiny island where once it was a mighty empire covering two-thirds of the globe. So come on, Britain, let's leave the royals alone and all get divorced ourselves, so they don't feel so bad about it.
Of course, there are just one or two people who might claim that the best solution is to scrap the royal family altogether. Now, obviously, I wouldn't dream of suggesting that. There'd be nothing for tourists to look at, you wouldn't get a day off for the Jubilee, and after all, somebody has got to be the head of state, which meant if there was no royal family, you'd have to elect a president, which is worse, because presidents are elected, so they think that they're entitled to real power. But all they've done is win a ridiculous contest that most people in America don't even vote in, and a contest which is like a party game anyway, where two people who are rich enough just see if they can go for 6 months without letting slip that they've been knocking off Miss Venezuela. So they're just like any other head of state. Lucky. And that is why our system is brilliant. Because if the royal family is chosen by a weekly lottery, everybody knows it. There's no pretense, there's no I was elected or I've got better blood or anything like that. You are just simply the head of state because you were lucky enough to win the bloody lottery, you bloody lucky bloody git. So think how much better it would be. You just have an ordinary family, royal for 1 week. So when the Queen got up to speak at Strasbourg, for instance, she'd actually talk about things that people would care about.
Oh, can you hear me at the back? Oh, sorry, I nearly forgot. Greetings from everyone in England, especially Auntie Madge. Oh, sorry, the Princess of Eastbourne. Oh, no, I don't want to ruffle any feathers, but can somebody please do something about the 2B bus from Brixton to Crystal Palace? I'll tell you, on Wednesday morning, me and the Duchess of Gloucester were stood there waiting for 45 minutes, weren't we, Doris?
Oh, c'est terrible.
This will not do.
There must have been five that went the other way. We were soaked to the skin.
Oh, mon Dieu, we will look into it at once, Your Majesty.
And the King's speech at Christmas would actually be interesting.
At Christmas, one's thoughts turn to relations. In particular, why her bloody sister, the Duchess of Bradford, has to come round every bloody year. She sits there with face like fizz, eats all nutty ones out of milk tray, has three too many snowballs, starts blubbing on about how she's never found a man good enough for her, Queen gets all upset, starts shouting at princes for flicking bogies, can't hear bloody telly. Season of goodwill, not bloody likely.
Now, there's loads of advantages. At the moment, for instance, you get to 100 years old, and what do you get? A poxy telegram. Under our system, you'd probably get a card with a shirt on the front that says, on your 100th birthday, here's some starch for your collar. And then you turn it over, it goes, it's the first stiffy you'll have seen for 50 years. Ha, ha, ha! Love the king! And stamps would be better, right? Because every week, the new monarch would have to go down to the photo booth to pose for the stamp. So first-class stamps would have someone going, whirr! And the second-class would have someone mooning on them.
And, of course, the royal family gets to pick the poet laureate. So now, at the moment, you get these idiots writing, "Ooh, Queen Mother, thou art like a rose in the breeze. Thou art the winner of the pole vault at the 1968 Mexico Olympics." But under our system, you'd get a different one picked every week. So you'd probably get a big royal occasion with some bloke standing up as the poet laureate going, "On the occasion of Her Majesty's 47th birthday, I have composed the following verse, which I hope will find favour with Your Highness." "There was a young man from Caracas who could balance a crown on his knackers. And once every hour he'd go to the tower to play on his royal maracas." And, of course, the national anthem would change every single week because you wouldn't have to have the same one. You could just pick your own.
Well, that brings us to the end of programmes on BBC One for tonight. Don't forget to switch off your set. Good night.
And, of course, that would also make the Olympics much more fun.
What a proud moment for Linford Christie and for Britain. Gold in the 100 metres. And the crowd falls silent as we prepare for the medal ceremony.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
Now, because another thing is that the Queen has her own units of the army, but under our scheme, instead of the Queen's own Highland Regiment, you'd have Gary's Light Infantry. And then the next week you'd have Auntie Ada's 12th Battalion. So everyone would have to be really nice to each other, because you'd never know who was going to turn up being King.
"We are Kent's first fusiliers. We fight the blokes who beat up queers. We wouldn't have done this yesterday, but Kent's the King and Kent is gay."
And, of course, the Queen is also the head of the Church of England. But if you had a different head every week, it would mean a real Church of England, a church that represented the people of England. So some weeks, for instance, you might get an atheist, which would make Songs of Praise a laugh.
This week's Songs of Praise comes from the Church of St. Terence the Unbeliever.
"Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in the presence of, well, no one at all, actually. So let's just join together and sing hymn number 278.
Being in a modern-day rationalist world doesn't really hold water, does it?"
"Last week, when I was facing Mecca, as instructed by the then Archbishop of Canterbury, Hassan Sadiqi, I was struck by the beauty of the wildlife around me. At the time, I believed it to be the divine work of Allah. But as I grow another week older, I now realize that the answer lies in Darwin's theory of natural selection. So would you now join me in reciting this passage from The Origin of Species?"
"The Galapagos tortoise, found in fossil form, on our second expedition, shares many similarities with the subspecies of antelope commonly found in Ipswich."
And if there was a different royal family every week, the honours list could then be shared out a bit.
"Your Majesty, we have one or two recommendations for the New Year's honours list."
"Like who?"
"Well, there's a Peregrine Wormslot, the First Lord of the Admiralty."
"What's he done?"
"Well, he's been First Lord of the Admiralty."
"Well, that's his bloody job, isn't it?"
"Was he in Crossroads?"
No, but he did hide the logbook when we sank one of the Channel Islands.
Look, I'm sorry, it's my honour's list now. I promised a night out to the barman at the Dog and Duck, and a peerage for Dave and Mary, and CBEs for Aston Villa.
Oh, don't forget the reserves. Oh, yeah, and an hereditary peerage for Giant A-Stacks for services to wrestling.
One of the most important jobs the royal family does is to represent Britain when they meet other heads of state. And with our system, they actually would be representing us.
Inside the car is that brave little old lady's friend.
Oi, turn that bloody telly down. We got the King of Malawi coming round. He don't want to hear your bloody row. Hello, Your Majesty. Sorry the palace is in a mess.
It is always a deep honour to visit your esteemed nation in order to further the mutual understanding between our two peoples.
Yeah. Where is Malawi?
Is it the same as Majorca?
No, it is in Africa.
Oh, lots of lions then. Here's your dinner.
Fish and chips. I have long dreamed of tasting this national delicacy, but have always been served asparagus and things with poncy French names.
Well, I bet you haven't had a decent pint either then, eh? Here, let's go down to Dog and Pumpkin after dinner. They got a bloke plays piano on a Friday.
For he's the King of Malawi, for he's the King of Malawi, for he's the King of Malawi, and so say all of us.
Give us a song then, Kingy.
Well, all right. Oh, we all live in Malawi, and we're not very rich, are we? We can't afford doctors or scholars, because we owe the West billions of dollars.
Ah, that's right.
we all live in Malawi, and we're not very rich.
Good evening. The King of Malawi has been found safe and well after disappearing on a state visit. He was found under a bush in Green Park at 4 o'clock this morning. The King said, "Oh, my head, where am I? Never again."
And our royal families would be able to get on with their jobs without being hassled by the press, wouldn't they? Because no one could pretend, either, that this was the one family that had never had any rows or lovers, because every week when the new winners were announced, there'd be people going, "Here, I went out with him when he worked at the garage. He's just a normal bloke with a little willy." And it wouldn't even matter if you got a cranky prince, because you'd only have to pretend he was wise for a week. So for 1 week he'd be going, "And look at the earwigs in Britain. They're not the right shape, and they don't crawl enough, and they're not the right colour." And the press would be going, "The Royal Earwig Debate, what do you think?" And you'd have experts discussing it on telly, going, "Well, if we look at the earwigs they have on the continent," and then suddenly the prince's week would be up and everyone would go, "Well, he was talking a lot of old bollocks, wasn't he?" And our system would stop these people who queue up all day for a glimpse of the royal procession, because before long, one of them would win the lottery.
Oh, aren't I marvellous? I don't know how I'll do it. I've been queuing 8 hours just to see myself. Oh, here I come now. Look, I'm waving. And what do you do? Oh, she spoke to me. Oh, I look smaller on the telly. Mind you, I don't like that dress I'm wearing. Where did I get it from? I wouldn't do my job for all the world.
In fact, imagine if the Mark Steel solution had been in operation throughout history.
Anne Boleyn, my English rose that floateth in the breeze and wouldst surely win the pole vault at the 1968 Mexico Olympics.
Oh, sire.
She hath broken my goblet. Off with her head. Well, come on, man, chop it off.
No.
What is the meaning of this?
Check your sundial, mate. 3:02, you ain't king anymore. You fat syphilitic git.
If you'll excuse me, I'm off down the clap clinic. You coming too, Anne?
So there we have it. Surely now, then, no one at all in the whole world could possibly disagree with our proposal. Except there is, of course, just one problem, which is that every week, different family is going to go off to be royal, and that family was probably doing something useful. So who are we going to get to do their jobs?
Oi, hold on, what's your game, mate? Don't throw the bin in!
Sorry, it's one's first day.
Oh, that's right, he's standing in for Kevin while he's king. Well, listen, if you want to be a dustman, you're going to have to make more noise.
Oi, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on!
Go on, mate, you try it.
Oi, 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 wait for one.
So then even the current royal family would be better off, because after all, everyone's always saying, oh, I wouldn't do their job for the world. And under our system, they wouldn't have to. No more stress, no more hassle from the press. They can just take it easy and go and work down a pit. So let's join a typical week's winners of the National Lottery as they take full advantage of their good fortune and arrange a quick royal wedding.
And you join us in Westminster Abbey for the marriage of Prince Trevor, the Duke of Dagenham, and Her Grace, the Princess of Barnet. The Queen Mother looking radiant, but no more so than last week's Queen Mother, or indeed anyone else. For are we not all radiant, as this marvellous new system has made me realise? And there's the ex-King of Malawi, now running Malawi's first fish and chip shop, having abdicated in favour of a system of weekly lotteries, as indeed have all the rulers in the world, thereby ending all possible reason for war. But now the abbey falls silent as we await the words of the Archbishop.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the presence of the Maharishi Sri Chinmoy Bhagwan to celebrate this joyous occasion with a 50-yard yogic flying race. But first, let us enjoy this verse from the Poet Laureate.
There was a young couple from Reading who got pissed on the night of the wedding. They said the next day, here, didn't we have it away? Well then, what was that stain in the bedding?
How very witty. And let us enjoy hymn number 42.
For he's the King of Malawi, for he's the King of Malawi, for he's the King of Malawi, and so is everyone else.
Oi, not so much of the bloody confetti, some bloke's got to clear this lot up.
Hey, well done, Charlie, that's more like it.
Oh, isn't life marvellous? I've been waiting 80 years to realise that.
How right she is, and all thanks to this marvellous new system, which I too shall adopt. From now on, there will be a new Alistair Burnett every week. And it's 3 o'clock, my time's up.
So this is Alistair Burnett saying good night on this glorious occasion.
And so there we have it. But now it's your vote. Would you rather keep the old system of scandal, privilege and war, or a new one in which everyone in the entire world is completely and utterly happy? It is entirely a matter for you. So all those here in the studio audience that would like to vote in favour of our proposal, and all those against, I will keep it as it is then. So it's good night, and we will leave you tonight with the national anthem.
And Jack the Peg diddly-diddly-diddly-dum with his extra meg diddly.
The Mark Steele solution was written by Mark Steele and Pete Sinclair, who also performed it with Maria McCurley. The programme was produced by Taran Ali.
With his extra leg, leave the lump.